The Lord be with you. Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Cathedral. If you happen to be visiting with us, we want to especially welcome you. Also to just mention that if you're joining us online by way of the live stream, we welcome you as well. Rick Hall is on video this morning and he'd be happy to hear from you by way of the chat. Also, if you're listening in to the Cathedral podcast that is recorded and available after the fact, we welcome you as well. I'll just remind you, too, that the podcast is actually fairly easily accessible. You can get it by searching on the web for Christ Church Cathedral Audio. Can you remember that? Christ Church Cathedral Audio. And if you happen to have Alexa or Google Home at home, just say, Alexa, play Christ Church Cathedral Audio, and you'll get the latest posting to that. So it's that close. Will you be seated for a moment, please? I'll just mention quickly for those who are here with families, and if there are younger children with you, we want you to be as comfortable as possible. So please don't hesitate to walk around a bit if that's something that's necessary. There are some articles in the back corner of the church, and you're welcome to those if they can be a bit of a distraction and a help. I'd also just mention that at the time of communion, we are at the moment not administering by way of intinction. That is, we're not dipping the bread in the wine. So if it's your intention not to drink from the common cup, it's not necessary that you do that. So just simply take the bread. Also, two lines up the center will help facilitate our movement. We're going to be at the high altar this morning, so we'll exit both ways through the doors and back down. And if you are in need of gluten-free hosts, those are available. Please just ask for them, and you're welcome to them. A note this week that we're expressing our condolences to some folks. Len Slaney, Kirsten McKnight's uncle in Ontario, died this past week. So Kirsten, to you and to members of your family, our condolences. I believe funeral will be there at some point in the future, and if you could remember them in your prayers, that would be appreciated. Also, you'll remember that Keith Allen died a month or so ago, and his funeral will be here at the cathedral on Friday at 10 o'clock. So that's this coming Friday at 10 a.m. And that will be followed by a reception at the Memorial Hall. Just a quick reminder that Fairline Place continues to have some vacancies. So if there's somebody that you think would be able to benefit from that, please pass that on. We continue this week through Thy Kingdom Come, which is the global wave of prayer. And there are various resources available on the Thy Kingdom Come website. One of the things that we're following through on this week is the novena for 2025. So the Archbishop of York has created reflections for each day in Thy Kingdom Come. And we're gathering on weekdays at 5:15 to have a brief discussion on those reflections. So we're there for about three quarters of an hour, 5:15 to 6. If you can join us in the boardroom, you're more than welcome. If you would rather join by video conference, you can do that as well. And if you visit the cathedral web calendar, there in the calendar event, if you open it up, you'll see a link. And you don't need to install any software, just click on the link and it should open in your web browser, and you should be on if you have a camera and a microphone. So you're invited to that. Also, just a quick mention that choir school is coming up in July the 6th to the 13th. There's been a fair amount of effort made to try to get the choir school back on its feet. And this would be the first year in several that there's actually being a full week for junior choristers offered. So beginning on Sunday, July the 6th. If that's something that you know someone might be able to take advantage of, it's a great way to go to camp and not actually be camping. So, and it's a great opportunity to learn some music, whether you are regularly in a choir or whether you're not. So that's the 6th to the 13th of July. There's only one difficulty, and that is that registrations need to be in about now. So if that's a decision that you can make, getting your application in now would be a good thing to do. So there is information again on our website or the diocesan website, and I just commend that to you. Is there anything else that needs announcing? Yeah, you'll have to speak up, Carolyn. I don't think everybody will hear you, but what is it that... Oh, the readings for Thy Kingdom Come. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I wasn't up to speed on that. I was kind of busy on the weekend, So there are recordings of readings that we're going to post on Facebook. So a reading for each day through Thy Kingdom Come. And if anybody wants to volunteer to do one of those readings, that'll happen after worship today. Thanks, Carolyn, for looking after that. Yep. The worship today is from the maroon-colored Book of Common Prayer. For those of you who might be somewhat new to us, the order of service is on the last page of the bulletin that you will have received, so the last inner page, and there you'll find hymn numbers listed and also page numbers for the order of service, which you'll find in the prayer book. And today is the Holy Eucharist. So we'll be beginning on page 67, page 67 of the Book of Common Prayer. As you kneel, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And over the page and at the bottom of page 69, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Lord, have mercy. be with you.
And with our spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Mercifully give us faith to know that as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them to the severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Here ends the lesson.
The Lord is King, the earth may be glad and second lesson is taken from the Revelation to John. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, all the saints. Be with all the saints. Amen. Here ends the second lesson.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 20th verse.
Glory be to thee,
O Lord.
Jesus said, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Sirs, what must I do to be saved? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On the seventh Sunday of Easter, celebrated by more and more churches these days as the Sunday of the Ascension, there is a palpable vacuum of presence. It's that experience of absence that we would miss if it was our purpose today to focus only on the ascension of the Lord into heaven. So we did that, as we normally do, on the 40th day, this past Thursday. Now, well into Thy Kingdom Come, the ecumenical observance during Ascensiontide, the notable prayer is, Come, Holy Spirit. The Spirit we long for is the one who binds us with the Father and the Son and with each other. As Jesus left his disciples for the last time, he assured them that they would not be left alone. He would be with them by his Spirit, who would clothe them with power from on high. The Holy Spirit, he said, will be the comforter, will be your guide. His prayer was that in the power of this Spirit, they would find unity. Jesus prayed, the glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, that they may become completely one. Unity of purpose seems elusive in our modern day, even in the church. You know, it's such a powerful image for us, an illustration, when the entire choir stands up together. And when they sit down together, there's a unity that's conveyed there that is a very strong illustration for us. When the servers approach the altar and they do so in pairs and then break off to be seated, there's a unity, there's an orderliness that is conveyed. And so there are intended to be signs and symbols of unity built into everything that we do. And the intertwined stories in the passage from the Acts of the Apostles offers two examples of how, by the power of the Holy Spirit, there can be clarification of direction, the aligning of intentions, and the unification of divine purpose. Still in Philippi, Paul and Silas find themselves shackled and in prison, singing hymns and praying until midnight. I might suggest to you that both of them perhaps were overachievers. An earthquake released the prisoners, but they all stayed put. The jailer was devoted to his vocation. He too was an overachiever. And vocational devotion is very much a sub-theme, I would say, here. He was about to kill himself rather than be blamed for losing his prisoners and forsaking his duty. When all were still in their cells, he asked the profound question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And I'll get back to that in just a minute. Many of my generation are guilty of the vocational sin of overcommitment, known by some as workaholism. For many of us, it's our work that has shaped who we are. I know professionals who have had enormous difficulty in retirement because their work and their identity had become one and the same. And I would suggest that there's a connection between the prayer of Jesus, the unity he wills for his church, to which we are invited, and what we come to see as our vocational purpose. Worship and prayer times perhaps pull us away from what dominates our focus. Sabbath is a biblical concept, a commandment, after all, for the purpose of growing healthy habits. And a healthy habit has to do with a healthy break from one's regular vocational activities. These days, we're all preoccupied with something. Whether it's work, duty, or addiction, whatever has captured our primary attention, rest, discipline, balance, and moderation in all things are all keys to our health. Too much of a good thing can send us in the wrong direction. Too much of a good thing can send us in the wrong direction. Clergy are encouraged to be workaholics. And John Lowndes reminded us of that this past week. And the interesting thing is that most are happy to comply. I remember someone saying to me after I left my time at the bishop's office, they said, "Do you realize that it took 5 people to replace you and Bishop Claude Miller when you left?" And my response was, "That may very well be, but I paid dearly for it." And I did. And I will confess to you, I am a recovering workaholic. Because workaholism, like some other holisms, never actually goes away. We're always recovering. So I can say to you, "Hi, I'm Jeffrey. I'm a workaholic. Although I have made some significant changes making it possible for me to survive that." You know, I was on my way to diocesan council yesterday, which was held at Camp Medley, and as I was driving, I was, of course, not wanting to waste time. So I was doing my Thy Kingdom Come homework. I was busy praying for my 5. And having read the 100-some pages of background for the diocesan council meeting and thinking about some of the motions that were being made and what the conversation might and should be about them, I was kind of praying about that too. And so I was on down the road and I got to the turnoff to St. John, and I just, in a natural way, turned down, and I went down there quite a bit, and suddenly I looked at the clock and I said, "Why am I not at Gagetown yet?" And that was because I was on my way to St. John. I can get distracted when I'm driving. Too much of a good thing, even, can lead me in the wrong direction. And if you ask Kelly about that, she'll tell you that that's true. Conversation with me while I'm driving sometimes tends to make it possible to simply, to completely miss where we're going. Sometimes too much of a good thing leads us in the wrong direction. So the question might be today, what is it that shackles us today? Is it our work? Going through the motions, unable to generate meaningful outcomes? Perhaps it's an insatiable need for entertainment that has our attention by way of the TV, the computer, or the smartphone, all of which for many of us are on 24/7. What holds us captive? When the jailer asks, "What must I do to be saved?" the obvious counter question is, "Saved from what?" Sword at the ready, the jailer was thinking about how to be saved from the wrath of the authorities. So, depending on who is asking, that question has come to mean many things. For the jailer in Acts, it meant baptism, not only for himself, but for his whole family. A biblical standard, we should note, is set in Scripture whenever we encounter Christians distressed by Anglicans who follow the ancient traditional practice of infant baptism. The jailer was baptized with his entire household. Commentator David Foamy writes, "What must I do to be saved? Is a personal question in search of a personalized answer. What must I do to be saved from what destroys me or sends me in the wrong direction? What must I do to be saved from my particular bondage, my oppression, my addiction, emptiness, or boredom? There are countless ways to lose our way in this world or to be in bondage, just as there are many different threats from which we need to be saved. And so as the aftershocks still rattling the walls of the prison in the passage from Acts, the jailer knew he needed saving. The threat to his well-being was clear, tangible, looming. We, on the other hand, sometimes have only a vague sense that we are in trouble, that our lives are falling apart, or that we're losing our way. We learn to hide these thoughts, either with diversions or with shallow hopes that things will just get better. The jailer's situation was unique only in its immediacy. We all need to be asking, what must I do to be saved? Whatever the jailer may have meant by his question, Paul's answer is deceptively simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is an invitation to the jailer and indeed to everyone to tune in to the level of God's action. Paul's answer is simple, but it's not simplistic. We may misunderstand it to suggest our passivity, that all we need to do is sit back and Jesus will save us. Jesus will do it all for us. But it means much more than that. It means making the decision that we are tuning into the highest level of the storyline of what's really going on. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, once said, "When I pray, coincidences happen." When I don't, they don't. How do we become more aware that our small lives are swept up into the great drama, God's purpose, God's storyline for the world? God is indeed reaching out to us in Jesus Christ, taking our lives into the gospel story of transformation and redemption. But it's hardly just about us. Trusting in this truth means that we give up our efforts to save ourselves by trying only to solve our own problems. And there are still countless problems to be solved in this world. We have much yet to do to bring release to captives, justice to the oppressed, and peace for those ravaged by conflict, war, and abuse. As important as those actions are, they are only part of a higher, more important action. the saving action of a sovereign God who enters our humanity to take it up and redeem it to its final destiny. So there's a vacuum today. There's an absence. Jesus has left the world, ascended to the Father, and he has taken our humanity with him. When we pray, coincidences happen. When we don't, they don't. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. We're going to turn now in the Book of Common Prayer to page 71. And as we stand, let us confess our faith as we say. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Lord,
Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. As we kneel, let us pray. Let us pray for the church and for the world, saying, hear our prayer. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being and unity of the people of God, Lord, in thy mercy. For the Anglican Church of Korea, Onesimus, their primate and bishop of Busan, the ecclesiastical province of British Columbia and Yukon, John, their archbishop, and the provincial council, for Anne, our acting primate, David, our bishop and metropolitan, and for all the clergy and people of the Diocese of Fredericton and this congregation, Lord, in thy mercy. For all those who proclaim the gospel at home and abroad, and for all who teach and disciple others, Lord, in thy mercy. For our sisters and brothers in Christ who are persecuted for their faith, Lord, in thy mercy. For our nation and for those in authority, Mark, our prime minister, Susan, our premier, and Kate, our mayor, Charles, our king, and all the royal family, Mary, our governor general, Louise, our Lieutenant Governor, and for all in public service, Lord, in thy mercy. For all those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, those who we remember who are hospitalized, especially Sharon and Harry and Heather, remember those who find themselves in nursing or special care homes. Arlene, Sue, Pat, David, Andy. And those who are ill at home or in other facilities. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. For all those who have departed this life in the certain hope of the resurrection, Len, Keith, Lois, and others we may wish to name, in thanksgiving, let us pray. Lord, in thy mercy, hear our prayer. Grant these prayers, O Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent, and heartily forsake our evil doings. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue with the thanksgiving and consecration on page 78.
The Lord be with you.
Thank you.
Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation, the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son Jesus Christ and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with thy spirit.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table. But thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
As you kneel, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us depart in peace. Alleluia.